Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. I want to appreciate you all for coming and listening to this talk. It's very late in this day and very late in the seminar. I want to appreciate you. This is a nitrogen talk in the phosphorus section, but I want to provide something looking at spatial variability and temporal variability of leach nitrate from field core lysimeter and Humoki prairie landscape. And again, I want to acknowledge my co-authors, my graduate student, Rezvan Dekodi, Lekon Latuyi, my colleague, Francis Moya, who is in the audience, Don Flayton and David Lobb are my colleague on this project. As a form of introduction, why do we look at nitrate leaching? Well, nitrate leaching is important from two points of view, one from agronomy, because when we apply the fertilizer, we want the crop to use the fertilizer rather than the fertilizer getting lost. So that is fertilizer use efficiency, supplying the nitrogen to the crop and making sure that we do not lose money by nitrate leaching. Also, there's an environmental concern because nitrate can, once it leaves the root zone, can continue on its journey to groundwater and contaminate groundwater. A lot of people, especially in the rural area, depend upon groundwater as a source of their potable water. So what are the factors affecting nitrate leaching? There are several factors: the type of soil texture that you have, the type of crop, how much rainfall you have, the time in the growing season, amount of available nitrate, and where you are in the landscape. And so what I wanted to do here is actually go through some of my studies and summarize and look at what are the factors controlling nitrate leaching on the Canadian prairie. Let me say that on the Canadian prairie, you can hear me. Okay. Let me say that on the Canadian prairie, nitrate leaching was thought not to be a problem because of the amount of rainfall that we get, generally about 500 millimeter. And so when you look at the potential evapotranspiration, you find that there's a high water deficit. And so earlier on, it was thought not to be a problem. But measurement has since shown that nitrate do leach even on the Canadian prairie. And so we need to look at it. So let me go ahead and show you three studies. The first study is looking at nitrate leaching from soil manure and fertilizer using field core lysimeters. This is the layout of the experiment, a very simple experiment. We're looking at three rates of manure, 2,500, 5,000, and 7,500 gallon of liquid soil manure, and then we have a rate of fertilizer to match one of the middle rate of manure. And so we have six treatments, and the treatments are laid out this way, and we have four replications. So going from south to north, and then within each plot is 10 meter by 10 meter, and we have lysimeters, PVC lysimeter, installed into each plot, so that whatever we do to the plot, we also apply the treatment to the lysimeter. Very simple experimental layout. This is how the lysimeters were installed. Actually, the drop hammer that installed this came from all the way from Penn State to Winnipeg, Manitoba, to install the lysimeter into the soil. We then bring the lysimeter out. We put a bottom in there, a drainage collector, and we have a pipe through which we collect this and put it back into the soil. This is one of my graduate students pumping water out of the lysimeter. We have a pump and we put a hose down the pipe to collect water from the lysimeters. This was installed in 2002, and lo and behold, 2002 was a very dry year, so no leachate was collected in 2002. 2003 was also a very dry year, and 7 out of the 24 lysimeter yielded water. And at this time, I was beginning to panic because this was my NSERC, program, and 2 years of no data. Then came 2004. 2004 was a wet year, and 23 out of the 24 lysimeters produced leachate. On this axis, I have the centimeter of water going from 0 to about 140 millimeter. And here are the six treatments and the plot going from south to north. So I have rep 1, rep 2, rep 3, rep 4. And you can see that there's tremendous variability in the amount of leachate, even at this scale. Remember that each plot is about 10 meter by 10 meter. So we're looking at about a distance of about 65 meter by 50 meters in here, and you can see tremendous variability. The question is, what is causing this variability? If you look at it very closely, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You see a trend. You see a trend that is centered around plot 3 and 4, and on both sides of plot 3 and 4, there seem to be a decreasing amount of leachate. Also, from south to north, there seem to be decreasing trend in the amount of water that leach through those lysimeters. And this is just not a one-year trend. If you look at the leachate that we collected in 2005, we found similar thing that we have the maximum around plot 3 and 4. And on both sides of these two plots, the amount of leachate decreased and then general decrease as you move from south to north. So I want to show you the texture of this soil. We happen to collect texture from every other plot, and so we're able to produce this this map of the texture. Of course, the surface is a loamy sand, and underlying that, below that, is a layer of sand, and you can see that the layer of sand varies tremendously, and then we have a sandy loam, and below that we have this loam soil, or probably clay loam soil, and you find that the thickness or the depth at which this occurs within the profile varies within the plot. So when you look at the trend, you see that when you look at from the plot 3 and 4, the thickness of this sand layer decreases on both sides of this plot. This seems to be the point of maximum of this sand, and this controls how much water goes through this profile. Another interesting trend is the texture. You see this loam layer, the thickness also goes from south to north, and it seems to increase as you go from south to north, and this layer seems to serve as a check for the movement of water. So this variation in soil texture, even at this scale, very well explain the variation in the water and nitrate that we get from these lysimeters. How about temporal variation? I'm using two of the most productive lysimeters to show temporal variation. The top blue graph shows you the almost monthly precipitation we get during the year in millimeter. The next graph is the amount of leachate in plot 3 in one of the two most productive lysimeters. And you can see that most of our leachate here is actually during the spring. This is starting from April, May. This is when we have the snow melt. And you see that really this precipitation does not contribute much to leaching. Most of the leachate that we collect at this time actually come from the snow melt. So, however, during the growing season, even though we have quite a bit of precipitation during the growing season, this was a very wet year. You find that we don't have any leaching from the lysimeter because of the growth of the crop. So, on the prairie, most of our leaching is either early in the spring or very late in the fall if you have a very wet soil. Very little leaching event occur during the growing season. Now, let me move quickly to study two, where we are looking at nitrate leaching from perennial and annual cropping systems. Again, this is the layout of the experiment. We have 40 lysimeters, and is a split plot design where the cropping system is the main plot, and nutrient treatment, five of them, are the subplot. You have the green is the perennial, and the orange is the annual crop. And we have five fertility treatments. This is the plot as they look in real life. Again, within each plot, we have the lysimeters that we can use to collect both water and nutrient. So this was put in 2006, and the plot was seeded to the same crop, to the perennial, in 2007. So this is baseline data that we collected, and you can see here that, again, at this side, there's quite a bit of variability. What we wanted to look at, this is the data collected in June, and this is the data that we collected in July. And so we did some statistics and found that these were not normally distributed, and so we did some log transformation. The main thing we're looking at this is there a block effect? Is there some pattern, spatial pattern in this, whether there's a block effect? And when we analyzed this, we found that actually this variability was random. There was no block effect in this variability. This is the background data. Now let's look at the real data. This is the data that we collected last year. Again, this is the centimeter of water going from zero to about 14 centimeter. This is from the annual crop and from the perennial crop. Again, most of the leachate is very early in the growing season, when from the snow melt, very little amount during the growing season, very little amount in July and August, and then quite a bit in the fall. The main story here is that the perennial, the annual seem to give higher amount of leachate, about 10 centimeter compared to average about 8 or so for the perennial crop. So quite a bit of water do go through our soil and through using this system, we're able to collect this amount of water. So this is the amount of water. Now what happens to the nitrate in this system? Now, when we look at nitrate, again, this quite a bit of nitrate leaching occur under our annual cropping system. Again, in the spring, you have about 20 kilograms per hectare of nitrate being leached. In the summer, about 10 kilograms, and in the fall, about 5 kilograms. However, when you look at the perennial where we have grasses, there's virtually no nitrate in the leachate. Even though you have quite a bit of water coming from the perennial, there was no nitrate in this thing. What this is telling us is that the perennial are using quite a bit of nitrogen, and they're cleaning up the plot, and so there's very little or no nitrate in these lysimeters. Let me look at, now I'm taking you through the landscape, what is the solute movement in a Humakay prairie landscape. And here, this experiment, we perform it actually in a place called the Manitoba Zero Tillage Research Association near Brandon. And it's a pothole where you have ephemeral and permanent wetland. It's very humoky. We used two sites, site one in 2007 and site two in 2008. Just to say that with the soil type, it's a New Deal Association. And for those who belong to the Canadian Soil Science, New Deal is the new soil of Manitoba. Well, this is the landscape map, or the elevation map. I want some of the person who actually helped put this together is here, and you can see we've applied treatments at different points in the landscape: the upper, the middle, and the low. We use three rates: 0, 0, 90, and 135. Kilogram per hectare of nitrogen and 200 kilogram per hectare of bromide. Let me show you the result that we got. Now, looking at the three landscape position, we find that the greatest movement of bromide, this is bromide that is left, you find the minimum amount in the low landscape position, telling us that the greatest movement occurred at the low land position. And when we go, this is the 90, treatment 135, in both treatment you have the lowest amount at the low landscape position and the highest amount at the mid-slope position. And when you go from fall to spring, you actually lose some amount of bromide. You can, if you look at this, even at depth, you can see the value here is smaller than the value we measure in fall and spring. So there's movement of bromide, with the greatest movement being in the low landscape position. How about that for bromide? How about nitrogen? Well, nitrogen tells us similar story as bromide. You find the smallest amount is in the low slope position, the greatest amount is in the mid slope position. And again, we have greater amount in treatment 135 because we added more. And again, we have when we go from spring to fall, we have a decline in nitrate. Well, so the pattern of nitrate is very similar to that of bromide. However, unlike bromide, we find that because nitrate is being replenished, we don't have this great reduction going from fall to spring, especially at the soil surface. So let me summarize. On the prairie, most of the leaching occurs shortly after snow melt in the spring, and if you have a wet fall, also you have leaching in the wet fall. There's large amount of variability even within a single field, and we found that one of the factors that can explain this is textural composition of the soil. Perennials such as grasses, they have potential to reduce nitrate leaching. They reduce the water loss by a small fraction. However, we found that this can reduce nitrate leaching significantly. And under our situation, the low landscape position is the most vulnerable part of the landscape to nitrate leaching, and we have to take this into consideration in our fertilizer management. I'd like to thank you, and I'm going to wait for questions.